Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we're going to get to your phone calls starting around 8:20. Maybe around 8:30, because I'll tell you what, once we get to talking with William Perry Penley, we're going to want to keep that going for as long as he's able to join us. William Perry Penley, you remember him from the Mountain States Legal Foundation, incredible organization. But, man, he's been fighting for Western interests. Those of us here in the Rocky Mountain West and in the upper Great Plains, he's been fighting for Western interests for decades, going back to the Reagan administration. Of course, then he was a top Bureau of Land Management official under President Donald J. Trump. But I want to get his reaction to a Supreme Court decision that came out last week, overturning Chevron. What does that mean? Is this a way that we can finally rein in the deep state, the regulatory state? We're going to get Perry Penley's take here in just a few minutes. Plus, I'm going to keep one eye on the Montana Talks app messages and one eye on the phone lines here. And then the other eye, I'm going to keep an eye on the SCOTUS blog to see if there's any Supreme Court rulings that are going to be announced, particularly with regard to presidential immunity and President Trump. So they did just release one decision so far this morning that deals with what's being referred to as the Corner Post case. But anyway, awaiting news on the Trump presidential immunity decision as it's being referred to. And then, of course, before we get to anything else this morning, I do want to just to give a big message of support out there to our airmen on Malmstrom Air Force Base. For those of you that missed the news over the weekend, one airman was killed, several other airmen injured in a vehicle accident that occurred on Malmstrom Air Force Base on June 29th. They had two additional first responder airmen were injured while responding to the accident. And as MontanaRightNow.com reported with an update last night, the five injured airmen were transported to a nearby medical facility. But Governor Greg Gianforte saying this: Susan and I join the men and women of Malmstrom Air Force Base in grieving the loss of an airman who tragically passed away in a vehicle accident this weekend. Please keep the family and those injured in your prayers. So we just want to say our hearts go out to the entire Malmstrom Air Force Base community and their family. Colonel Dan Voorhees, the 341st Missile Wing commander, said, quote, "Each of our airmen are amazing and are vital members of our team. We will need time to grieve for our teammate that we lost and for our injured members to heal both physically and mentally. Our focus right now is to make sure that all of Team Malmstrom has the support they need to make it through this difficult time." For our friends that are listening out there at Malmstrom Air Force Base, definitely let us know whatever we can do to provide support, whatever our listeners can do to provide support as well. Quick break here on Montana Talks. We've got Perry Penley joining us right after this. And looks like we've got some more Supreme Court news to share with you as well. And then open phones for the remainder of the program after that.
Securing America.
The director of the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, Jen Easterly, spoke Thursday at a forum at Oxford University. She says when it comes to cybersecurity, nothing remains the same.
We can't keep doing the same thing and thinking that we're going to be successful.
She says foes like China have shifted their cyber focus over the last several years.
For years and years, anybody who's been doing cyber looked at China as a very serious espionage threat.
Now, she says the target is infrastructure and vulnerabilities that can be exploited and left idle until activated, causing
the severing of telecommunications, the derailing of our transportation nodes, the pollution of our water systems,
which in turn could lead to
chaos and panic, such that it deters our ability to marshal military might and citizen will. And we know that that is the intent.
Kip Mieretsky, Fox News.
What a crazy week we had on the road. We took you to Missoula, Kalispell, Great Falls, Butte, Bozeman, and Billings. What are we going to talk about in the week ahead? Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Hey, we should have some open phones time on Monday and Tuesday. David Noble's going to be in the house on Wednesday. George Blacker doing a Freedom Friday special show for us. And then we'll have a Best Of program on the 4th of July. So Montana Talks will be with you every Monday through Friday, including through the 4th.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, I imagine my phone will start kind of lighting up once some of the big decisions are announced out of the United States Supreme Court. Can't remember if it's, I think it's four cases that they've still yet to release their decisions on. And today is the day when they release the remainder of their decisions for this year. So they're waiting on the big one, which is the Trump presidential immunity case. So I'll share that info as soon as I get it. But two big decisions last week. One was this Grants Pass case that says, yes, cities, municipalities, and towns, yes, you can regulate the transients that are invading your communities. So that is very good news, especially for our friends in Missoula, Bozeman, Kalispell, Billings, et cetera, where especially in Missoula and Bozeman, you're being invaded by transients and they're just abusing your communities. And then you've got these liberal city governments that just encourage it. And they would use this Grants Pass case as an excuse. Well, they have that excuse no longer because of the United States Supreme Court. Another major decision came out with what is known as the Chevron case, or at least a case that deals with the Chevron deference. I've got a press release here from the Manhattan Institute. And basically, you know, they're talking about how this is, you know, this is a big blow to the administrative state. Or like I would say, is this how we can finally start to rein in the deep state? We've got Perry Penley with us now, a former Reagan and Trump official. He was director of the Bureau of Land Management under President Trump. Perry, great to have you back on Montana Talks.
Hey, Aaron, it's good to be with you.
Well, thanks for joining me last minute. Early this morning at O-Dark 30, I thought, man, who would be somebody really good to give us insight on this Chevron case and how significant this is? And you're the first that came to mind.
Thank you.
So what's your reaction?
Well, it's a huge, huge, huge decision. Somebody said today the last couple of years have been monumental Supreme Court holdings, and this term is no exception. And Chevron is huge. For anybody who deals with the federal government and the interpretation of federal statute, Chevron is a breath of fresh air, and thank goodness for the 6-3 ruling by Chief Justice Roberts. The case boils down to this, what we call Chevron deference. 40 years ago, it first started in 1984, and essentially, Aaron, it says, well, if a statute is clear, then the judge has to go with their statute. But if the statute is silent or ambiguous, then the judge has to defer to the federal agency. And what makes that especially crazy is that it depends on the administration. So Obama might interpret it one way, George W. Bush might have interpreted it a different way, and every time the court is required to defer to that interpretation. And so what the court said was, that's a fiction, Chevron is no more, and judges must exercise their judicial responsibility of determining whether or not Congress has spoken to the issue. If Congress has not spoken to the issue, then it doesn't matter what the agency thinks. The petitioner or the plaintiff or the person suing the government or being sued by the government wins.
Yeah, and so essentially what we've had is we've had, you know, unelected bureaucrats deciding what the law is going to be or how they're going to, you know, or how to change the law. And so Congress may have been clear with the law they passed. But then these, you know, these deep state bureaucrats can say, well, it's kind of unclear, so we're going to write the regulations this way. And then, of course, folks out there, whether they be in oil, gas, coal, agriculture, or whether they want access to so-called public lands that the environmentalists are shutting down, they'll file suit. And then these liberal judges will say, well, you know, it's kind of unclear, so we're going to side with the federal government agency. And this is how this deep state that's been around long before Donald J. Trump has continued to be weaponized against we, the American people.
Well, that's exactly right. And Justice Gorsuch from Colorado, the first Westerner on the court since Byron White, he got it right. He said, you know, people with money, people who can hire lawyers, they're able to keep pace with these rule changes that affect them. And they can lobby for a reasonable interpretation. But ordinary people, they can't do any of these things, and they're the ones who suffer. And the ones suffering in this case were herring fishermen in the Atlantic. You know, if anybody wants to know what this case is about and they don't want to read a legal a Supreme Court opinion, just check out Netflix and see the movie Coda, which won the Academy Award for Best Picture in 2022, which is about a bunch of fishermen in the Atlantic forced to have these bureaucrats on their ships when they went fishing at a cost of $710 a day, which reduced their annual returns to the vessel up to 20%. So it was devastating to these fishermen if these all of a sudden the Marine Fishery Service says, oh, well, we're going to put some observers on your boat today, and you've got to pay for them.
And meanwhile, China gets to fish as much as they want, take more than they're supposed to take. Russia gets to do whatever they want. But no. Let's use the deep state to go after American fishermen, right?
That's what they're doing, and it ends today. The Supreme Court called it a fiction. And in fact, the Supreme Court's not been applying the Chevron test since 2016.
Interesting. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break here. Perry Penley, if you can stick around for a few more minutes, we'd love to have you to talk about the debate as well, because I think it ties into this. Stand by.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. The path to the majority in the House of Representatives snakes along Interstate 5 from Washington, Oregon, and into California. A dozen races there are competitive. Democrats currently control 6 of those districts, and Republicans control the other 6. If Democrats sweep the vulnerable GOP seats while holding their own, they would exceed the 4-seat gain they need for a majority. But the vulnerable Democratic seats give Republicans an opportunity to grow their majority. Look at Washington's 3rd District in the southwest part of the state. It's represented right now by Democratic freshman Marie Glusenkamp Perez. She pulled off an upset last cycle. She's facing a rematch against Republican Joe Kent. In California's 13th district, President Biden beat former President Trump with 54% in 2020, but Republican John Duarte won by 2 points in 2022. And Republican Mike Garcia has won tight races in the past. President Biden carried the district with 55% in 2020. He will face former Virgin Galactic CEO George Whitesides. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Serving the great state of Montana, from the peaks of the Beartooths to the banks of the Clark Fork River, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Former Reagan and Trump administration official Perry Penley with us on the show here on this Monday, Friday. Perry, as you can imagine, the bulk of our conversations and our phone calls were about the debate between Joe Biden and Donald J. Trump on Thursday night. And, you know, I think actually, oddly enough, I think actually this conversation you and I are having ties perfectly into the debate, because the big question after the debate was, you know, Democrats were even openly acknowledging that the debate was a train wreck for Joe Biden. It exposed Joe Biden for the struggles that he is having. The rest of us already knew this, but I think the rest of the American people that have been lied to by the fake news media and been lied to by the Democrats, that were told, oh, no, Joe Biden is 100% with it, as John Tester told them. No, he's doing a great job. Don't worry about it. And then they saw him unedited and they're like, wow, this guy is struggling. But I made the point And it was pretty cool. Even got quoted by the Federalist. Joy Pullman quoted me in a piece that she wrote. I said, look, Joe Biden, okay, they replaced Joe Biden from the ticket. The problem is no matter who they replace Joe Biden with, it's the people that are running the Biden administration. They're the problem, and they're going to be running whoever his replacement is too. And then Joy Pullman took it appropriately to the next level, which is no matter who the president of the United States is, you are going to have an administrative state, a regulatory bureaucracy that is still going to try to run this country into the ground. And that's why this Chevron, being overruled as it's being referred to here is so important.
Oh, absolutely. You can't underestimate the importance of the Chevron decision, because it's going to allow people to go into court and say, look, the Congress did not ride along on this. Congress has not spoken on this. The agency is not allowed to enforce a law that Congress did not write. That's the whole point of separation of powers. This is the whole point of the judicial branch. The judicial branch is supposed to make independent judgments based on its reading of the statute without caring what the political branch has to say. The discussion is about what the expertise, the dissent to Chevron said, oh, judges are not experts in the field. And Justice Gorsuch says, well, that depends what field you're talking about. If you're talking about determining what laws say or how they're written, that's exactly what judges have done since 1803 in Marbury versus Madison. Paul Clement, who's the solicitor, the previous solicitor, and he argued the Chevron case, he pinpointed this out. The problem is Congress doesn't have the courage to write clear laws because it knows that one side or the other at some point is going to be in charge and able to give that side what it wants. And what Congress has to do is write clear laws. Do their job. Congress, do your job. If you want to make it possible for bureaucrats to get aboard a fishing vessel, then write the law that says they get to go aboard the fishing vessel and the poor fisherman has to pay for it. But if Congress doesn't do that, then the agency has no authority to act.
Yeah, you know, I know some on the left, and I think as I've been monitoring the SCOTUS blog this morning to await some of the other big Supreme Court rulings that are being issued out as we speak here. I haven't seen anything on the Trump presidential immunity decision yet, but it's worth pointing out, you know, the left is claiming, oh, this is going to cripple the federal government. Government isn't even going to be able to operate now. Okay, as much as some would want that to actually be the case, this decision, I think James Copeland, who's a senior fellow at the Manhattan Institute, commented. He said, despite commentators hand-wringing, this case will not, alas, cripple the massive federal regulatory state, but it provides an opening for reining in the regulatory state. Is that kind of a good, summary?
Yeah, I mean, it's a partial summary, but the bottom line is, as I said, if Congress wants to make something illegal, they know how to write the law. Write the law to make that thing illegal,
yeah,
to give the agency the power to put it into it. If Congress doesn't have the courage to write that law, then the agency doesn't have the authority to enforce that law.
Exactly.
And so what it does for people like my clients of 30 years, when I represented ranchers and farmers and loggers and miners and oil and gas people and homeowners and rural counties, what it means for them is simply we're not going to get hammered by an agency coming in and said, well, the statute's unclear, so judge, you have to listen to what we say. It means no more. The judge doesn't have to defer to the agency. The judge can say, well, look, I'm with the law school. I can read this statute. I read the statute. An agency, you don't have the authority you say you have. So, the rancher wins or the homeowner wins. And that was Gorsuch's position. in his dissent, the concurring, I should say. Justice Gorsuch said, hey, lawyers can lawyer the heck out of this. Rich corporations can deal with this situation, but not the ordinary people. Ordinary people, they can't afford usually to go to court. So this is a breath of fresh air. And now the pressure's on Congress, you know. You want to stop something? Write the law. But instead, Congress, you know, they want to make a lot of noise. But when it gets tough, they say, "Oh well, gee, this is too hard to write. We'll defer to the agency." And then the judges have to defer to the agency. No more, says Justice Roberts.
That's right. Well, and this also underscores just how critical it is that we get Donald J. Trump, you know, back in the White House. Look at the way the myriad ways that our country is under attack right now from our wide open southern border. There's a massive terror alert that's been issued to U.S. military bases in Europe, but we've got terrorists breaking into this country too. So I'm sure that alert is being taken serious here on home soil as well. I did just see here, by the way, let me see here. We do have a decision in the presidential immunity case. I'm watching the SCOTUS blog right now. The vote is 6-3. Amy Howe reports the court holds that a former president has absolute immunity for his core constitutional powers. So now I guess we'll have to see the analysis and the full decision to see, you know, well, does that apply here? Does it apply there? Does it apply with, you know, with regard to challenging the election? But nonetheless, a 6-3 decision saying that that a former president has absolute immunity for his core constitutional powers. She adds, former presidents are also entitled to at least a presumption of immunity for their official acts. That kind of sounds like common sense from what I'm seeing as an initial reaction here, at least.
Well, it is absolutely common sense. Aaron, I wanted to go back to a point you made a moment ago about the debate. None of us who have been paying attention were shocked by Biden's performance. We have seen him on stages large and small all across the country. We've seen him on the big stage and foreign events. And we know he's not the man he was. He's suffering mightily. But frankly, never was that great. He's not a very smart man. He's a liar. He's not a truth teller. And he's a terrible decision maker, and he's wrong on all the policies. But what was clear at that debate, and I think the thing that shocked the American people was, my God, when did this happen? And what about all these officials? And I mean cabinet officials who have been confirmed by the United States Senate have been lying to us on a daily basis. Mayorkas the other day, yeah. He said, my gosh, I'm afraid to go into a meeting with Joe Biden. The toughest part of my job is getting prepared for a meeting with Joe Biden. Believe me, Aaron, I've gone into meetings like that. I've been prepared for meetings with presidents and secretaries and senators and members of Congress. And so I know about getting prepared for those meetings, but getting prepared for a meeting with Joe Biden is not that. And the Wall Street Journal blew the whistle on that some days ago.
Yeah, the toughest job is the guy who has to catch him in case he falls. I mean, that's the guy who's got to be on his toes, right?
And the follow-on question was, number one, my gosh, they've been lying to us. And number two, my golly, who's in charge?
Exactly.
Who's making the decisions? They say, oh, he has good days and bad days. Well, what about when the stuff hits the fan on a bad day for Joe Biden or at 3 a.m. while he's laying there in his cap and his mask, sound asleep,
yeah,
off his meds? You know, all of a sudden we've got problems in China. We've got problems in the Middle East. And it's time to wake up, Joe.
Exactly what you just said, Perry Penley, is exactly what every Montanan, I hope, takes away from Thursday night, too. Remember, we've got the most important U.S. Senate race in the country right here. Liberal Senator John Tester versus Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy. John Tester very recently said Joe Biden is 100% with it, and he's doing a good job as president, and he's done a great job securing the border. That's what John Tester said about Joe Biden. And it's proof, just like Perry just said, it is proof that John Tester is a liar. And now you know that he's a liar because everything he told you is the opposite of what you just got to see with your own eyes on Thursday night. Perry Penley, an honor having you back on the program. Thanks for being with us this morning.
great to be with you, Aaron. Good luck.
All right. Thank you. And yeah, reach out anytime you want to join us on the show. If you see something in the news, even before we see it, reach out, because it's always great to get your take. By the way, back to this presidential immunity decision. I mentioned a 6-3 vote, according to the SCOTUSblog.com. 6-3 vote, the court holding that a former president has absolute immunity for his core constitutional powers. But there's a couple more interesting notes here, saying there is no immunity for unofficial acts, which maybe that makes sense too, right? So then it becomes a debate of what is an official act, what is not an official act. Phone lines are open for you back after this.
Fox Facts.
Independence Day stands as a hallmark federal holiday in the United States commemorating the birth of our nation. However, a widely held misconception surrounds the signing date of the Declaration of Independence, often presumed to be July 4, 1776. In actuality, American independence was formally declared 2 days prior, when the Second Continental Congress approved the resolution in Philadelphia. Delegate John Adams even wrote to his wife saying he believed July 2nd would be celebrated by generations as the great anniversary festival. The Declaration underwent 2 days of congressional edits before ratification on July 4th. The act of signing began on August 2nd, 1776, with the 56 members of the Second Continental Congress adding their names. John Hancock notably led the signing with his bold, now famous signature. Matt Murphy, Fox News.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, we got some great callers we want to get to here. Let me turn off the volume on my computer here. There we go. All right. Here's a FoxNews.com. Actually, before I get to the Fox News write-up, let me see what the Associated Press, the left-wing Associated Press, is saying to downplay this decision. Breaking news from the AP. The Supreme Court sends Donald Trump's immunity case back to lower court, dimming the prospect that he'll face a trial before the election. You know, why don't you bring a trial? Why don't you bring a trial, lower courts? Because all you do is help Donald J. Trump. The more you put him on trial, the more they see that it's really America and her freedom that's on trial, that it's America that's under attack, not just Donald J. Trump that's under attack. So why don't you bring it? Bring it. Let's see, the New York Times. The Supreme Court said Donald Trump is entitled to some immunity from prosecution, raising the possibility of further delays to his January 6th case. January 6th, what was happening on January 6th? Wasn't there something official happening on January 6th? So if the president has immunity from official proceedings, let's see. FoxNews.com, the Supreme Court ruling Monday in Trump v. United States that a former president has substantial immunity from prosecution for official acts committed while in office, but not for unofficial acts. The court sent the matter back down to a lower court as the justices did not apply the ruling to whether or not former President Trump is immune from prosecution regarding actions related to efforts to, they say, overturn the results of the 2020 election. I would say actually get the real results of the 2020 election, despite all the massive election interference, the massive ignoring of signature verification rules, et cetera. But anyway, that's the big ruling that just came out. Let's get into your phone calls, 406-294-0970. Francis and Big Fork, first up. Great to hear from you, Francis.
Well, thank you. Sorry I didn't get to see you much when you were here. But I'm glad to say one thing about Sheehy. You know, he does have a place on a lake, but Kester's always hollering about. And then he says, but he has Down syndrome people there and wounded warriors he's working with. bring in different soldiers and trying to teach these down kids that they can get, you know, take care of themselves more. Because right now they just put them on welfare as soon as they turn 18 and don't try to get them a job or anything. Because they used to have handicapped people at, you know, Walmart and not Walmart, but at different stores.
All sorts of jobs, yeah.
That they would help, and they did a good job. They cleaned tables, and they were proud of their work. And so, but now they'd rather have everybody in on welfare.
All of us, yeah. So and where did you learn
so
this
that's
about?
That's the main thing.
Where'd you learn this about Tim Sheehy? Was that
it was from him.
At one of his events, was he?
From him. Yeah, he was at a fundraiser, and I asked him about his leg, and that's what he said. And one of his relatives has two kids that have Down syndrome, so he personally knows it.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. That's very cool. So he's got this. So he's got a house on Flathead Lake, and of course, you know, the Democrats. If you were some big Hollywood liberal celebrity, they would love it if you bought property on Flathead Lake. But if you're a military veteran who served your country in Iraq and Afghanistan as a Navy SEAL, oh, they hate it if you're successful and are able to buy a house on a lake, because they want you to be, like Francis just said, they want you to be on the welfare. They want you to be a victim, not a successful veteran. But no, that's interesting. It's interesting that you mentioned that, Francis, because last week, I won't say who it was or which organization, but let's just say there is a veterans organization. I ran into one of their lovely volunteers last week in Kalispell, and she was telling me, she's like, you know, you don't mention this on the radio or anything, who and what and where, but no, it's so awesome. Tim Sheehy, he's opened up his place to, you know, for volunteers and veterans that are a part of this certain organization. And, yeah, it's just one of the ways that he and his wife, Carmen, give back to their fellow veterans. And Francis just named another one. Francis, thanks for calling in. Great to hear from you. Let's see. Next up, we got Mike in Big Timber. Mike, thanks for the call. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, first of all, thank you for taking my call, Aaron. And yeah, 6-3 decision. We know who those three are that dissented, but I won't get into that.
Well, you can, because they're likely all three that were put there by John Tester, right? Or a previous probably. Democrat senator from Montana.
Right. The initial reason I called was, do you remember the incident in Houston when that little girl was raped and killed and her body found in a creek out there?
Yeah.
Do you remember the news report that these individuals went back to their employer asking for money so that they could flee the area? My concern is, how many other employers are hiring illegal aliens, and they should be held responsible?
Oh, but instead of being held responsible under this administration, they're being rewarded for hiring illegal aliens. And the people who try to hire legal farm workers through the immigration system, they're the ones that are being punished. That's what we heard last week. I mean,
yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's a major problem. And this was brought up on your show over the years, that the illegal aliens that are being hired by these employers, they should be held responsible. They should not, you know, be allowed to do hiring these illegals, because it just exacerbates the situation.
But they're being encouraged to hire illegals under Joe Biden and John Tester's policies right now. I mean, that was the point. That was, you know, last week when we had, you guys heard, you heard Chief Clem probably with us Friday in the 9 o'clock hour. He called in a couple other times too and joined us while we were on the road. But, you know, we all wanted to hear what he had to say about border security at these border security rallies that we did with Americans for Prosperity in Montana. But in addition to him, at four of the five rallies, we heard from a gentleman named Jordan Fischetti, who is an immigration policy expert for AFP. He for 6 years, he was an immigration attorney. And that was one of the things he pointed out, was that, like, if you were a Georgia farmer and you had a whole bunch of peaches that needed to be picked, or what, I forget the exact analogy he used. He says, if you tried to do it the right way and hire farm workers through the, you know, the legal immigration system, They made it so treacherous. They forced you to have to pay this, you know, high rates to everybody on the job, not just pay certain jobs, certain amount of money. But they made it so burdensome that they actually punished good behavior. They punished the farmer using the legal system. And they rewarded the guys down the street that would hire illegals. That's what's happening in Joe Biden and John Tester's America.
Yes, sir. And it shows you how upside down things are and what these administration officials can do. Have a great 4th of July, Aaron. And thanks for all you do.
Hey, thank you.
All you do. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. Thank you. And thanks for your service. Great to hear from you, Mike. Next up, let's go to Clint in Bozeman. Clint, always a pleasure.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my call, Aaron. You've been traveling around the state spreading the message of the Republicans, and I think I appreciate that, and I think that most of the people do in the state of Montana.
Well, you're too kind. It's just a message of common sense, though. I mean, even if you want to take the parties out of it, right?
That's right. That's absolutely right. We don't have any common sense anymore in our Congress, I don't believe.
It ain't too common.
No. Well, here's what I got to say about President Trump. And this, what they're trying to do to him here to get him, to put him in jail, I guess. Article 4, I'm afraid, is the one that the Supreme Court of the Federal Constitution, Article 4 is going to be the one that they're going to derive their judgment on, I do believe. And it's in Section 4, the forfeiture of offices for crimes. I think they're going to base that on that, and the reason I'm saying that, it says it's for high crimes and misdemeanors. But there's something that really has bothered me. President Trump, when January 6th happened, was still the president of the United States. And Joe Biden hadn't been sworn in until later in January. So he still was president. He still had some, I do believe, immunity to this. Decision that the Supreme Court is going to put out.
Of course.
But if they use Section 4 of the federal Constitution and for the president, what he can do and cannot do, I'm afraid that they're going to make their decision on that. And I don't think that's right. I think a president should be if he's going to be tried for a crime, it should be after he comes out of office.
Or it should be Joe Biden for the wide-open southern border.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Yeah, the Democrats, they were lying to you. And Joe Biden leading the way, he was lying to you. And then followed up by the media mob, they were lying to you. Now, ask yourself, do you think if the country knew that it was true, that this laptop was very real, that the odds were pretty high, that it would have impacted the 2020 election in states where as few as, 10, 12,000 votes made all the difference? Yeah, I think that's a pretty logical conclusion. Did they all put their cinder blocks on the scales to help their favored candidate, Joe Biden, win? Yeah, they did. Who led the lying campaign? Joe Biden.
Check out the Sean Hannity radio show later today, right here.
Hey, are you ready to give your home a summer makeover without breaking the bank? Well, Blinds.com has you covered with their 4th of July early access sale. Now, shop huge discounts on premium, customizable window treatments. Now, you're going to love Blinds.com. I love them. They invented the better way to shop for energy-saving blinds and shutters and motorized options, and it's all online. And Blinds.com always has free professional design experts. They can help make a minor project like updating your window treatments that will have a major impact on your home's decor while keeping things simple, easy, and affordable. Also, you get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. And as always, you can rest easy because with Blinds.com, they have their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com and their huge 4th of July early access sale right now. Sizzling summer savings up to 50% off site-wide. Get up to 50% off, but only for a limited time when you go to Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
Any graduate student can make things complicated. An old mentor of mine told me decades ago, it takes a genius to make it simple. To which I would add, truthful and simple. at least in the realm of the discussion of the adequacy of electricity supply. Few of us have had full exposure to the complexity of how the generation, transportation, and distribution of electricity to every city, home, and business actually works. But that hasn't stopped us from having strong opinions on everything from retiring coal plants to banning Bitcoin miners. To those who do know how the system works and where the choke points are in the flows of power to the places it needs to go, the remedy is simple. Get educated. For most of us, that's not a workable option. It would take the equivalent of a college semester to get a passable understanding of power planning to be fully conversant in its issues. Where is that genius? I'm Patrick Buckley.
Brought to you by the
3. That's 406-201-6263. 406-201-6263.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let me see here. A couple other write-ups. Breitbart breaking news alert. Trump wins. Supreme Court says president's covered by limited immunity. So they're describing it as a Trump win. The Daily Caller. Supreme Court rules Trump has immunity for official acts in appeal. I asked John Jackson, the Joker from Twitter, and then also our friend David Noble at LectureFan via X.com, because he's a lawyer, said, hey, are you guys seeing any good write-ups out there on X, et cetera, with regard to this decision? Here's the one that John Jackson shared with me from Sean Davis. Sean Davis, great contributor to The Federalist, by the way, co-founder of The Federalist. He says the Supreme Court has ruled on the Trump immunity question. In a 6-3 vote, the court ruled that presidents have absolute immunity for official actions within his conclusive and preclusive constitutional authority and instructed the lower trial courts to hold specific evidentiary trials on each anti-Trump criminal count to determine which counts, if any, apply to non-immune acts. Evidentiary hearings? Sean, you want these never-Trumpers to have evidence? They only manufacture fake evidence. Evidentiary hearings? What is this evidentiary hearings you speak of? Let's see. Chief Justice John Roberts wrote the opinion for the majority. The ruling likely delays any final action on these anti-Trump criminal lawfare trials until after the election in November. And then there's much more feedback there from Sean Davis. You can check it out. I shared it x.com/Aaron Flint. Clint in Bozeman made another really good point. I was chatting with him a little bit more through the break there. He said this about the Biden crime family. I have never seen leaders that are so solely based on power and money like the people in the running the White House right now. Clint also had some nice words. He told me, keep doing what you're doing and just how important this show is. So, Clint, thanks for those nice words. But speaking of money and power, did you hear China come up? Did you hear when China came up in the debate? Let me get to it here. Well, I won't play the debate back and forth between Biden and Trump on China. You can go back and watch the debate highlights if you want to. But what I do want to share very briefly, Peter Schweitzer, who's written a book about the China corruption of Joe Biden and family, he had this to say in response to the China portion of the debate Thursday night.
Yeah, it's really pretty remarkable. I mean, look, the bottom line is that Joe Biden and his family have received collectively tens of millions of dollars from Chinese businessmen, beginning really when he became vice president of the United States. And that has deeply affected and shaped his approach to China. And all you have to do is look at his record and look at the wild inconsistencies that have occurred since that money began to flow. In the 1990s, for example, Joe Biden led the charge on Capitol Hill in calling out the Chinese government for their involvement in the international heroin trade. He held hearings about it. He talked vocally about it. The money started to flow when he was vice president. Look at fentanyl. The Chinese are the senior partners. The Mexican drug cartels are the junior partners.
Yeah, I mean, China has just been cashing in on COVID and everything ever since the start of this administration. All right. Hey, I'll tell you what, guys, we've been talking a lot about how important it is to not only buy American-made products, but also What about Montana made?
2 minutes, stations. 2 minutes away from your Fox News top of the hour newscast.
I don't know if you guys are hearing that, Fox. There we go. We got that double audio feed out of there, but that's all right. That's right. 2 minutes till we get the Fox News update for some of our stations across the state. But hey, it's not just about buying American made. It's about buying Montana made. What better to have made in Montana than Montana beef on your plates for dinner? I'll tell you what, I'm going to be in Martinsdale tomorrow night, so I'm going to get one of those Avalanche Ranch Wagyu beef burgers tomorrow night in Martinsdale. They got a street dance going on. It's going to be a great time. But you can get some Avalanche Ranch Wagyu beef as well. You can buy a quarter beef, half beef, whole beef. Get it delivered to various locations across Montana. Place your order online, avalanchewagyu.com. avalanchewagyu.com.